This is a replay of the Thursday night, December 12th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempts us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James, here for the next 3 hours. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and I hope you'll call 888-876-5593. We'll be kicking it off with Eduardo in Tampa. We've got Marianne in Chicago, and plenty of room for you, too. But as I was saying during the news, the Festival of Unmentionable Thoughts is held every year today on December 12th. And that apparently has been observed for quite some time. And by the way, I don't believe one of these things, but it's always, you know, in these calendars. And what they're saying is contrary to what you think. It's not unusual to have thoughts that might be considered unmentionable or nasty. Humans have a vivid imagination, and every now and then we tend to have thoughts that might be a little too risky or risque to share. So remember, you're not alone as you celebrate today. So I look down to look at the history, thinking, well, they'll tell me when the first person came up with this particular holiday. Oh, no. Socrates, 2,500 years ago, encourages critical thinking among his students. What could possibly go wrong with that? 13th century Thomas Aquinas, yes, and was encouraging critical thinking as well, in case anybody missed the Socrates message. The Renaissance, well, that could be arguably considered quite a bit of critical thinking. And on their list, they have Karl Marx. I'm not even going to go there, all right? So bottom line, though, is unless you're Cindy from Chicago, it's good to think. Yeah, now Cindy, on the other hand, absolutely thinks too much. We've enlisted her in Thinkers Anonymous. It started out innocently enough. She began to think at parties now and then to loosen up. But inevitably, one thought led to another, and soon she was more than a social thinker. Yeah. All right, so she'll call, I hope, tonight, because she left us hanging when she happened to mention this gas leak that she seemed to be doing nothing about with her stove. And we all, many of you as well, encouraged her to at least call people's gas, if not dial 911. So hopefully she did one of those two things. And if we don't hear from her tonight, we'll figure she didn't do either. Yeah, that would not be a happy thing all the way around. Another holiday tonight, by the way, today, all day. Yes, I saw this National Ding-a-Ling Day, and I thought it was Dave Bartholomew Day, or at least Chuck Berry Day, but no, it has nothing to do with that. National Ding-a-Ling Day is sort of a twofer holiday. You touch base with friends by phone, you know, or with friends or family you've lost, and you get a free pass to be weird for the day. And it's always December 12th as well. And once again, I tried to figure out when this started. And yeah, probably with the Chuck Berry song, No, or as it was, Toy Bell originally by Dave Bartholomew. Chinese bells were first, 2000 BC. And that's as far back as bells go that we know. And by the 1800s, it was more than ceremonial use. That's right. Music of the bells. Yeah, again, what could go wrong with that? The Salvation Army. Yeah. First used bell ringers in 1891. And I think some of those original ringers are outside Walmart as we speak. Yeah, it sure looked like it the other day. All right, 1972, there was a free ad. And this is a little more recent. Frankie Heil, a Chicagoan, started a new tradition when he placed a free ad in Chase's calendar, which was the Bible for disc jockeys and talk show hosts of the events that were going on and all that. But he recruited people interested in spending $1 to join a club to phone forgotten loved ones. I have absolutely no idea how much money, if any, he made. All right, so that's what's going on today on the 12th. And, of course, we're ignoring the elephant in the room with the fact that in hours from now, it's Friday the 13th. Not only that, it's Friday the 13th while Mercury is in retrograde, so this could get interesting, you know, or not. But that's the deal, and Mercury's in retrograde until this Sunday, December 15th, but the shadow of retrograde doesn't end until the end of the month. So, yes, you're not going to be able to sit easy. And again, as I say every time I mention Mercury retrograde, all planets go retrograde except for the Sun and the Moon, and none of them go retrograde in reality. It's just apparent motion as we see from the Earth. And believe me, astrologers think something about every planet going Mercury retrograde and all that, but going retrograde. With Mercury, though, it's taken on social significance. This is not the time that it rules, by the way, travel and communications. And it's not the time that your plane's going to go down in flame. It might be the time that the carrier loses your luggage. But basically, don't sign unless there is an exception here that I think a lot of people don't realize. If you're redoing something, a legal agreement, for instance, or maybe you're revising a divorce or what have you, Mercury retrograde is the absolute best time to do that. So they say. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And Eduardo is in Tampa. What's happening tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, good evening, Raleigh. Well, before I get to my two songs here, did you hear about this teenager from Chennai, India? He won the champion in chess.
How about that?
Yeah, Garry Kasparov, 22 years old. He beat him on the age, so
yeah,
he says that yoga and meditation helped him because he had some problems with mental health.
The interesting thing about Gukesh, which is his first name, he is the youngest ever at 18 years old. They've never had a chess champion that young. So and apparently it was a rousing game for those of you who keep track of this, because move by move there were some blunders there, but he came up ahead, Gukesh, over Ding Liren from China. So that was the deal. And
5 hours
ever.
I guess. Wow, you really got to be really focused.
Well, yes, dedicated to say the least. So, yes, and this took place in Singapore.
Right, yeah. Yep. Yeah, pretty interesting story.
Now, the best part, you get money. I mean, a lot of money, over $1 million for this.
Well, he said, I mean, he doesn't have to worry about paying off loans if he's going to college. I'm sure he's going to college.
Yeah, well, he gets $1.35 million. So, not bad. All right, good for him.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here we go. So I got, the first one I got, I think it's pronounced Spandau Ballet.
Spandau Ballet.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's a guilty pleasure for you?
Yeah, their song, Gold. I like that song.
All right. And you're willing to publicly admit it. All right.
Yeah, and then the other one is by the Thompson Twins. Nothing in Common, which is from the movie Nothing in Common with Tom Hanks and Jackie Gleason in Chicago.
Well, a very worthwhile choice. Very good. All right. Well, excellent. We'll consider them added, and Carol is doing the tabulation, so you know it will be an honest list. It will be accurate, and she won't forget anything.
All right. Have a good weekend, Raleigh.
You too. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
Much.
I appreciate it. All right. Yeah, that chess competition was really interesting from the standpoint of the guy who lost. I don't know what they do to you in China when you're representing the nation and you lose, but apparently he had been the champ and he was dethroned, but apparently he, in the final, I guess there were best of 14 games, in the final game, he made what was categorized as the worst blunder in the 138-year history of world championship match play. Yeah, And so the defending champ resigned moments later after a game that lasted 58 moves in just over 4 hours. So that was the deal. So, yeah, I don't think I'd want to be Ding going home right about now. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Marianne in Chicago. What's up, Marianne?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you doing?
All right, now how about yourself?
Okay, I'm sitting outside with the dog right now and Puddin. Looking at the almost full moon.
Okay, so this is Puddin', of course.
Yeah.
Now Puddin' was a little illin'. How is Puddin' feeling?
Well, actually, her blood test said her RBC went up way past the acceptable low number of the RBC.
Good.
So they reduced her prednisone.
Good.
From 1.5 pills 2 times a day to just 1 pill 2 times a day.
Excellent.
Her plasma was good. All her numbers went up really well. We'll find out tomorrow if everything's still going good, because instead of once a week now, they're doing her blood once every other week.
Okay.
So, you know, and I had the darndest time getting her to take her pill.
Well, of course. She's a dog. It's their birthright.
How many dogs do you know don't like liver sausage?
It doesn't matter. If there's a pill in it, they'll find it.
I tried to give her liver sausage without a pill.
Oh, and she wouldn't eat that either?
No.
Well,
I gave her peanut butter without a pill. She didn't want that.
All right. Well,
she's without a pill.
Yeah, the first thing to determine before you even think about the pill is, what does the dog like to eat?
Yep, we finally figured it out.
And what is it?
Oh, you'll never believe it. When I sit out here on the deck and I throw bread to the little birds,
mm-hmm.
She's over there chasing them away and eating it.
Wow.
And one of my girlfriends says, why don't you put her pill in the bread?
Well, right.
Ding, 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 ding. We had a winner.
All right. Yes, and there are some brands of white bread that it wouldn't be too hard to mold around a pill. All right.
No, actually, I found this brand called Lewis Artesian style bread.
Uh-huh.
And it's very soft. And I take it and make like a little pillow out of it and squish it down, toss it to her. She gobbles it up. Then
perfect.
I give her a few regular pieces. And it's like twice a day, all of a sudden, she wants that bread.
Well, she is a cheap date. That's nice.
Yeah, she is. She's such a good girl.
Yeah, I was afraid you'd tell me she'd only eat caviar.
Well, hey, if that's what it took.
Well, yeah, I realize it'd probably be cheaper than having the vet feed it to her. Yeah, I agree with that.
Uh-huh.
Well, good. So another visit tomorrow, and hopefully then we'll know that she's out of the woods for good.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Another thing that popped up on my tablet. Have you ever seen a panda dolphin?
What?
Look it up.
No, you got me.
It's a black and white dolphin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The colorings, the markings. All right.
Uh-huh.
All right. So there's no fur involved. Yes, the markings. Yes, it's a lovely looking dolphin.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And interestingly, they're also certifiably crazy. They like to swim upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't know why, but
I'm sure the dolphin does, but yeah, the rest of us have no idea. But like I say, certifiably crazy.
And I guess I want to give you one guilty pleasure.
Oh, good. What is it you're embarrassed to admit you like?
Christmas in Dixie.
Oh, my God. All right.
By Alabama. Every time I hear that at Christmas, I bawl like a baby.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, you won't be hearing it here. All right.
I know. I'm not asking you to play it.
Yeah, no, can't be happening. It would violate all the terms and conditions of the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club.
I know,
yeah.
But it's still my guilty pleasure.
Well, that's all right. I like Christmas Night in Harlem, if you want to know the truth, and I probably won't be playing that either. All right, so now, you mentioned the full moon, and we should mention the full moon is coming up this weekend, either Friday night or Saturday morning, depending on when you sleep. It will be, Saturday night. Where are we here? Saturday night, Sunday morning, December 15th at 3:01. I'll confuse you. Yeah, 3:01
a.m. Yeah, there's a little scooch of it missing right now, like
right.
Where on the clock it would be like 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
That little spot is missing, but it's so bright, it's shining through the clouds.
Nice. It will fill in by Saturday night, and hopefully it will not be cloudy.
Well, it doesn't matter because it's shining through the clouds.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for being there. Good night, everyone.
All right. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine. Although, true confessions, I think my mind up and left me because I had picked four or five things out to talk about tonight, and they've gone the way of all flesh. But I'll regroup in a moment and play the first request we got from last night. You're about to hear Francis Fay on WGN Radio.
I wish that I could shimmy like my sister Kate. She shakes it like jelly on a plate. And all the boys in the neighborhood, they know she does it. And she does it good. My Zeta wanted to know last night why all the boys treat Katie so right. I know that I'm late, but I'll be up to date when I can shimmy like my sister Kate. Shimmy like my sister Kate. I wish that I could shimmy like my sister Kate. She shakes it like jelly on a plate. And all the boys in the neighborhood, they know she does it. And she does it good. My Santa wanted to know last night why all the boys treat Katie so right. I know that I'm late, but I'll be up to date when I can shimmy like my sister Kate. Shimmy like my sister Kate.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1952 on Capitol. Frances Fay, I Wish I Could Shimmy Like Sister Kate. Interestingly, 8 years later, she was singing it on the Ed Sullivan Show along about the same time, and I'm sure she had no idea that the Olympics did their own version of Shimmy Like Sister Kate, or Shimmy Like Kate, as far as the RV label says. And actually, I'm much more cotton to it, and we'll play it next. But I was curious because I thought, well, kind of got the same title here. Do we have the same writers? You know, proving that I live in La La Land. No, Armand Perrin wrote the Frances Fay song. And Fred Smith and Cliff Goldsmith wrote The Olympics, so no. And Cliff Goldsmith wrote quite a few things and some jingles and commercial jingles and stuff like that as well. So anyway, we'll play The Olympics next just because we can. So 888-876-5593. Now, there's an interesting article I read about, yes, rising prices, but that's not the part that was interesting. This is actually Chipotle. If you eat at Chipotle Grill, they admit that they've increased their prices by 2%, and this was at the same time that there was a protein price hike, suppliers, 20%. So that is apparently the story, but that's not the story because one analyst from Wells Fargo clearly had more time on his hands than brains. He decided he would order the same Chipotle bowl 75 times to prove and he believed it, wanted to prove it, that the portion problem exists. That's right. And so this was Zachary Fadum and his team at Wells Fargo. They bought and weighed all of the burrito bowls that they bought at 8 different Chipotle locations in New York City. Half were ordered online, half were ordered in person, and they did an analysis, which they published in June. Now, I know when you normally think about a bank analysis, you expect you're going to be dealing with money rather than pork, but apparently it is quite the issue. There are significant inconsistencies in portion size, and I can sort of understand this because, you know, when you were something like Boston Market and you were selling hams, it was like ham, you know, dinners, it was like 4 slices to the plate. Well, it's a little harder with say a burrito bowl in terms of all you're putting in there. But they're assuring the Chipotle management is, which just changed, by the way, the big guy went over to Starbucks. And so one of his underlings is now in charge of it. And he's saying, there was never a directive to provide less to our customers. Generous portion is a core brand equity of Chipotle, but apparently they have not been good at making portion sizes consistent among restaurant locations. And there's been quite the social media backlash, proving that we have more time on our hands once again about dainty portion sizes. Well, so that's the deal. They're defending their increase in size in prices and apparently their decrease in size, saying we didn't mean to do that. Well, I guess they're going to seriously look at how to provide equitable portioning, since equity is a core tenet of the organization. All right, so we're committed to ensuring we give the right portion to every guest that walks into the building. This is going to be good. All right, and it's up to you to depend whether you want more of whatever they're serving, and that's another issue. We'll get to Johnny D in Ohio, and we'll get to you, too, coming up. He's got some more guilty pleasures. He submitted several that I saw by email, maybe some that I missed, but I think I got most of them. You can do the guilty pleasures by email, but that is dependent on me seeing your email. I'll tell you more about that, but right now I'll tell you all about that. Well, I won't tell you about the news. WGN will on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and as I was saying, yeah, there's the Olympics doing Shimmy Like Sister Kate when Florence Faye is doing the same thing, well, not the same title, on Ed Sullivan. I mentioned that Cliff Goldsmith wrote it. I probably should also mention that, no, he wasn't some West Side guy. He was born in Watts, absolutely African-American, and graduated from USC and was a postal worker in Burbank and then worked for Lockheed Corp. And he began producing things with Fred Smith for the Olympics. And I thought terrific, terrific stuff. And Fred Smith, by the way, was no slouch either. Bob and Earl, Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band, and more. So yeah, I thought that had some real good background to that. Not to mention it was on RV, which was a weird little label, a Richard Vaughn's label, hence RV, but they spelled it ARVEE. And both the Olympics and the marathons were on it for a while. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Johnny D. He's back with some votes. All right, Johnny D.
Hello, Raleigh. Now, Watts is in Cleveland, isn't it?
No. It's in South Central L.A. last time I checked.
There's a Watts in Cleveland, too.
Well, there may be. Where is it?
By Euclid.
Really?
Yeah, really? Watts in Cleveland. Yeah, check it out.
I don't know why I don't know this.
Well, you haven't been there in a while.
Well, that's true, but hey, I don't think it just popped up in the last few years. If it's been there, it's been there. But let's see. I don't know.
Look up Watson, Cleveland.
I'm looking at the best suburbs of Cleveland, the 11, including, of course, your basic Bay Village when you're talking far west side, through, of course, all the east side options. But
This ain't a suburb.
What do you mean it's not a suburb?
Well, I don't know if you call it a suburb.
Well, it's, I don't know. All right, we'll have to leave it there. And I know there's Ho in Cleveland, H-O-U-G-H, and that's east side, sort of. It's between Superior and Euclid.
Well, there's a Watts in Cleveland.
All
right. I know that.
I will believe that. I will take your word for it. Now, so by the way, let me say that Carol will confirm it because she was born and raised in Cleveland.
Well, Carol could probably tell you about it.
Yes. All right.
Firstly, also, it's Thursday night and Benjamin's over there, right?
Oh, that's right. You have to be quiet. Yes, yes. Or all manner of hell will rain down on you if you wake up him and he wakes up Becky. Yes, it will be a murder.
Well, she was just up because I heard her walking around out there. She must have had to go to the bathroom or something.
Right, yeah. This is...
Anyhow.
Yes.
I hope she went back in because I was going to talk about something that she doesn't know anything about.
Really? True confessions time. The hell with the songs. What's going on?
Well, here's the predicament I'm in, Raleigh. Here's the predicament.
Yeah,
and I figure, I don't know if this is a good place to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. You know? So, anyhow, one of my cousins passed away. Mm-hmm. Last week or a couple few days ago,
Yeah.
A girl cousin.
Okay.
I think she was like 84 or something. Kathleen.
A life well lived, and rest in peace, Kathleen. Yeah. All right.
And she was a little bit older than me.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the family members are starting to go accordingly.
Yeah, they will. That's the way it works on this planet.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Wait a minute, let me open this door and see if she's not in the hallway.
Oh, man, this is going to be a story. Jeez.
Wait a minute.
Oh, dear. What is he keeping from Becky? Well, we'll find out in moments right here. All right.
All right.
We're back.
She went back in the other curtain with Benjamin.
All right. So Kathleen's a goner. Pick it up from there.
Yeah, Kathleen. She was a beautiful girl, beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. And, all right. So she passed away in... she has a sister, a younger sister,
mm-hmm.
and Beverly. Beverly's my cousin, too. And Beverly used to work with, sell jewelry in the jewelry department. Of pennies, okay? Anyhow, so she worked with, and she didn't know it until, I don't know, she found out. They worked together. The girl that broke my heart, okay, when I was like 19 years old,
mm-hmm.
right? You know some pictures I sent you when I was, up on stage and everything?
Yes.
Well, she's the girl that took those pictures, all right, with a Polaroid camera or whatever you call it, all right? Now, Beverly and her are friends, good friends, all right? And I don't see Beverly much, but... occasionally at these kind of things, wakes, funerals, family things,
mm-hmm.
And there's been some lately, and I've been running into Beverly, and she's been saying, so I always talk to her and I say, I say things about her girlfriend, I say things about her. And she's married now, She's been married a couple of times. This girl, I'll call her Deanna, all right? I'll call her that.
Okay.
Deanna. And anyhow, she's still a good-looking woman, from what I see.
Yeah.
What Beverly tells me. And, mm-hmm. I'm sure, men age better than women, so you can imagine, what she might think of me,
Well,
but here's the situation.
Yeah, tell me the situation.
Here's the situation.
All right.
I have to go Monday to Kathleen's wake, whatever you call it, funeral.
Correct.
And if I don't go, they'll be mad at me.
No, you'll go.
I'm going to go. But my older sister has been communicating communicating with texts.
With you?
With Beverly.
Oh, with Beverly?
Yeah, with Beverly, my girl, my younger...
All right,
younger,
so your older sister is communicating with Beverly.
Yeah, so my sister texted me, John, Beverly wants to know if you're coming, you know.
Right.
To Kathleen's. I said, well, and I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, is that girl going to be there, that Deanna, you know, is she going to be there? So I told my sister to text Beverly and find out if that Deanna and her gooky husband are going to be there, right?
Oh, no. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So then my sister texted Beverly, and she said, John, well, you know, I guess she asked her what I wanted to know. And I got to keep my voice down. I hope Becky ain't listening.
Because
she don't know nothing about this.
Uh-huh.
It's been bothering me for days now, Raleigh. I mean, I'm high anxiety. Okay?
I'm sure, let alone scouting other places to live. All right, go on.
I've been having uncertainty of myself. And,
yeah, uh-huh.
You know, I've been thinking of that song. Let me say this also, Raleigh. I swear on the souls of my grandchildren that I won't be the one to break your command of no singing on your show.
Thank you.
Okay? All right. But here's the deal.
And by the way, we're not singling you out. Ruth will be on next, and we're going to really encourage her not to sing. All right, go on.
Anyhow, because I've been thinking of that song, you know. And I won't sing it. I'll just say the words.
Yes.
Just because I saw her and went all to pieces, she thinks I still care. You know, she'll think I still care.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So I'm thinking in my mind, I got to go, and how do I act? You know?
You act just like she's anybody else there that maybe you shared a class with once years ago. You don't act any other way. You act as, you know, for God's sakes, don't be nervous, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I don't normally get nervous.
Yeah, well, don't get nervous. Hide it. Yeah, you don't want to appear nervous. Just calm, cool, and collected, like the deodorant commercials.
No, but here's what Beverly said. So she texts my sister back,
uh-huh.
And she said, tell Johnny that if he wants to not come in for the service, he could stay outside and we'll understand.
Okay.
And I told my sister, I texted my sister, I said, sis, you tell Beverly to tell them to stay outside.
Oh, no.
I'm family.
Oh, no.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to come in loud and proud. Eh?
But
you know what I'm saying?
I do, but you started it.
You started it
by having Beverly say, you know, is that creepy husband or whatever going to be there? No. See, you threw the first punch. And see, now you don't want to have to deal with it. So, you know, buck up.
Yeah,
just go.
Okay,
yeah, right.
So I'm going to tell her when I see her, because I told
her
once.
Don't tell
her
anything.
No, I told her on Facebook once.
Oh, God.
Beverly, my cousin. I said, and I don't do much on Facebook ever, but I made a comment on her post, and she gave likes to every, there was like four, and one of them was that girl, Deanna,
mm-hmm.
that made a comment on her post.
Yes.
And she gave her a like and mm-hmm. thumbs up, and the other three girls or something and she didn't give my comment a like.
So what?
And I said to her, I said, Beverly, I said, why didn't you like my comment? I said that in another. And she said, well, she didn't say anything. And then I said, listen, Beverly, I'm just going to tell you this. Don't ever take sides against the family again, ever.
I'll tell you, if this is...
See, you don't know, Wally, but those lines are from The Godfather.
Yeah, well, that's perfectly fine, but I think that you need to join Cindy at Thinkers Anonymous. You are entirely thinking too much.
Well, I don't know, but Becky don't know nothing about this.
Well, and that's good. We'll leave it that way.
Right. So.
So just go, right, and if she's there, you know, act as if she's anybody else who's there, somebody you barely know. Don't worry
really?
About it. Yes, of course. Don't exacerbate. Okay, if you want to exacerbate it, expect them to throw another punch. It will escalate. And see, you don't like it when it escalates. So I suggest you don't make it go there. You know, if you're
there's nobody going to insult me there.
Well, yes, but realize before
I have my whole family.
Right. Before you get
this kid's not family.
Before you get your ego bruised and all that, remember you threw the first punch. Yeah, you did.
All I wanted to know was if the
you don't ask that question, period. That's just improper all the way around. You just go.
Yeah, I shouldn't have brought it up.
Nope, you shouldn't have. But and so you did, and this is what resulted. So now look at it as a learning activity. Don't throw another punch, because they're going to come back at you, and you're going to be unhappy.
Well, there ain't going to be no punches for them, because that kid don't want that.
We're talking about verbal punches. I'm assuming that you're not coming to physical blows. All right, so,
well,
so yes.
Well, if they wanted to get into a verbal... I'd give them a good verbal lashing.
Well, just play nice. Just realize that you're going to honor Kathleen's spirit.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking in my mind. I said, John,
That's right. So just pay your respects and, you know, don't make it as the world turns.
Mm-hmm. You know, her brother's coming in, who's the head of that family now.
Uh-huh.
And he's like a big jazz kind of guy
in
New Jersey, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big jazz guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day I'll send you an email. I'll let you know who he is. Yeah.
Well, lately my email habits have deteriorated, and I don't see them coming back anytime soon. So the best part of this show is it happens on the air, and I hope you'll call me again soon. And good luck on for the memorial.
Yeah, Monday.
All right.
Well, I already got my outfit picked up.
Very good. You'll be styling and profiling. Kathleen would be proud.
Right. I'm going to go up to and say, Kathleen, help me out here.
Yeah, that's right.
She must be laying on it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Good luck. Thanks.
I was going to give you some songs.
Wait. No. We got to have the songs. Your guilty pleasures? Oh, my God. All right. Go for it.
Let me see. Let me change my glasses real quick.
For a moment there, I thought you were giving me She Thinks I Still Care.
Yeah, no. I was thinking of that song.
Dickie Lee wrote that.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, just because I saw her.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah.
And I don't want to do that.
All right, so what is it that you're embarrassed to admit you love?
Okay. man, Becky, she found out about this. Man.
She's not going to. Shut up. It never happened. It's over. Forget it. You didn't tell me nothing. Yeah.
All right. I got here... tired of waiting for you.
Oh, the Kinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then She's Not There.
Okay.
Zombies.
Yes.
And then Turn, Turn, Turn. The birds.
Uh-huh.
And then Eleanor, the Turtles.
Okay.
And then You Didn't Have to Be So Nice, the Loving Spoon.
Okay. All right. Very
and that's
good.
It.
Yeah. Sounds like a bad oldie station. Perfect choices. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to get to Cleveland. Dennis, who is going to confirm there is no Watts in Cleveland. Good. I figured I didn't miss a suburb. And we've got Ruth and Gurney. We've got to have a talk with Ruth. That'll come up, too, on WGN Radio.
She comes on like a rose, but everybody knows she'll get you in touch. You can look, but you better not touch. Poison ivy, poison ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a creeping around. She's pretty as a daisy, but look up, man, she's crazy. She'll really do you in skin. Poison ivy, poison ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a creeping around. around. Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool ya, and whooping cough can cool ya. The poison ivy, Lord, will make you itch. You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James. JT and Aurora wanted to hear Lieber and Stoller's Ode to Crabs when you get right down to it. Yeah, if Quail ever advertised on television, that should be the background jingle. But nonetheless, there it is, Poison Ivy 1959 on ATCO. We have two more hours of this. We're going to spend it with Ruth and Gurney, and Cleveland Dennis is going to tell us all about how Johnny D was wrong about Watts and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Backfield in motion, yeah. I'm gonna have to penalize you.
Yeah,
backfield in motion, baby. You know that's against the rules. Huh. Offside and holding, yeah. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course that's Mel and Tim on Bamboo Records, that their mother, well, Mel Harden's mother anyway, it was Tim McPherson's aunt, owned the little label, and then it went to Scepter, but that was just a wonderful record done at Universal in Chicago, and I think that it was under the auspices in part of Gene Chandler. So, yes, a fine song. 888-876-5593. So why did I play it? There was a reason, actually. It was because right now, in 1969, it peaked at number 10 on the pop charts this week. All right. So seems like just yesterday. So let's see what we're doing here. I've lost my magic twanger. No, not that. So let's check out Cleveland Dennis. All right. Well, you know all things Cleveland, so you confirm what I have said, that there is no Watts in Cleveland?
Well, there's a Watts Street, and it's in the Huff neighborhood. Maybe that's where the confusion came from.
Okay.
Huff was where the riots were, I think, in 66, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And that was a very wealthy neighborhood at one time, but it all changed over time.
Well, and of course, Leo's Casino was there. So, that made it a wonderful that made it a wonderful neighborhood.
Yeah, I was going to go to that concert where Otis Redding was playing, but I was only 17, but I heard you could get in anyhow.
you probably could.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't make it. But I want to say this. Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas, I saw them in Cleveland, like, I think it was 65 or 66 at Euclid Beach, the amusement park on the Far East Side.
Sure.
Billy J. Kramer and the Secrets, his backup group, I guess, are going to be appearing here in St. Charles, adjacent to Elgin, where I'm at, on the Fox River. And it's December 22nd. I'm thinking about going because they got a meet and greet, and I'd like to see his show, but I'd also like to tell him in the meet and greet that I saw him in, like, the mid-60s.
Sure, absolutely. So the Moonlight Theater, December 22nd, and interestingly, it's a 3 p.m. show. It's an afternoon
show. And that's when the meet and greet is in advance, I think, but yeah.
Okay, All right.
Yeah, but I'm a groupie of sorts, but yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, and maybe I'll report back in if I make it there, and always listening, Raleigh.
Well,
always listening to the show.
You know, by the way, Billy J. Kramer was the first person to ever have a hit record written by Lennon McCartney.
I like that because I know that he did a few of their songs.
Yeah, it was
like,
that was the one, 1963, March of 63 in Great Britain. Do You Want to Know a Secret? And that hit in the UK.
Right, because it didn't hit it like that here because the Beatles had to hit here.
Right, right. And of course, well, and you know, Lennon McCartney did well by them, Bad to Me and all that stuff. So they did well here too. He did well there as well. So that's good.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I think I have a request. It's an Elvis. It's called I Beg of You. I think that's it.
Okay.
I have to double check that. But that is a very soulful song that Elvis sang, and I heard it recently, and I thought it was spot on, the fact that it was, something I hadn't heard, but it was, again, a very soulful song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's on 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. I think I probably have it on this computer. And if so, you will hear it.
Well, that would be great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling. All right. So I want to write that down so I don't forget it. And also I want to write down that, I have four different copies of it. All right. Well, I guess nothing like redundancy. All right. Let me write that. Cleveland Dennis wants it, so I mention it. Okay. Now, all right, Ruth, we must talk. Ruth. All right, Ruth. Now, we have to have this little talk because you love to go on about all sorts of things when you're telling your stories, and Carol had no idea what songs you wanted for guilty pleasures and what songs you wanted for requests. So without telling us the stories behind them, can you tell us what they were?
Well, I'm not concentrating on yesterday. I would like to give a tribute to the two police officers in the Little Village Hispanic and request the Serenade of the Bells.
I probably won't
play Frank
that.
Sinatra,
yeah, I probably won't play
and My
that.
Kind of Town by Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
And I'll have to call back and do the request which was done yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I was concentrating on the request for today.
Yes, yes.
So
well, the good news
my
is...
My turkey is filled with mistletoe.
All right.
It's associated with the goddesses. And don't you know that Venus was in full power last week when you were experiencing that unusual atmospheric conditions which were going on? She was in the alignment with the crescent moon.
All right.
And also, I wanted to request, and I won't sing this song because it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. It's Sexual Healing. And you would wind up with Sins of the Father Visited Upon the Son.
All right. I don't need stories.
Viagra will cause mental illness in their lives.
Don't need any stories. We'll get them on for you.
Well, that's not a story. That's a scientific fact.
Yes, I'm
Viagra will cause mental illness.
Well, stop taking it.
And the ruin of many a poor boy.
Yes. Talk to you later. Bye, Ruth. All right. So Ruth wants to hear. I'm not playing Serenade of the Bells. She can forget that. My Kind of Town, maybe. Sexual Healing, sure. Why not? And I Beg of You, absolutely. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And if you want me to play it and I like it, I'll do that too on WGN Radio.
I don't want my heart to be broken, but it's the only one I got. So, darling, please be careful, even though I care a lot. Darling, please don't break my heart, I beg of you. I don't want no tears to fall, and you know I hate to cry. But that's what's bound to happen if you ever say goodbye. But darling, please don't say goodbye, I beg of you. Hold my hand and promise that you'll always love me too. Make me know you love me.
please don't take advantage, 'cause you know my love is true. Oh, darling, please, please love me too, I beg of you. So please don't take advantage, 'cause you know my love is true. Darling, please, please love me too, I beg of you.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. There it is for Cleveland Dennis. And dude, I beg of you, RCA. It was a single in Great Britain. I think here it was only on that 50 million fans can't, Elvis fans can't be wrong album that also came out in 59 on RCA. All with the Jordanaires. There were a number of them. When it was a single, it was a flip side. I beg of you was the flip side of Don't. That was the A side. And like I say, places like the UK or Australia or Germany, whatever. But I don't think, and it might have been here stateside too, but I just don't have it. But I had it off the album anyway. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and interesting as the holidays are really upon us with all the rush of shopping and forced frivolity. That, by the way, is the reason we have the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club. If it's ho ho hell no or ho ho hum to you, this is the place. The only Christmas song you might hear is Gee Whiz, It's Christmas, because when I play that in July, Carla Thomas, of course, I get weird looks. But it's a great song, no matter when it's played. Recorded a couple times by her, actually. So maybe we'll hear that. So let's see. Stuff on this date in history. Connie Francis turned 87 years old today. She's still with us. She was born in 1937 in Newark. And, you know, her first biography, 1984, I read that. I actually liked it. And I wanted to read Among My Souvenirs. It came out in 2017. But at this point, the only reasonably priced copy is, you know, one of those digitals, like downloadable for Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Or, no, I'm not. I don't want to read it that bad. But if I see a cheap copy of it somewhere, I'll pick it up. So, sure. It's Among My Souvenirs, Part 1. To the best of my knowledge, there never was a Part 2. David Gates turned 84 yesterday. I know. He's a wonderful contribution, because he always, stuff that he's been involved with always makes the world's worst hit records every year. Now, he's still alive. Absolutely. He's living in Mount Vernon, Washington. And he's still married to his high school sweetheart. So that's the deal. And yeah, they raised 4 kids. One is a cardiac surgeon. The other 3 are attorneys. So good going for David Gates, you know, Tulsa's own. So Jermaine Jackson, we played some of him yesterday, turned 70 yesterday. And Sheila E., hard to believe, she's 67 this week. Yeah, her dad is, I think he's still with us, is Pete Escobedo, which if you are into drummers, well, you know him. And she was, of course, we first saw her on stage with Prince, I think. And as far as that goes. So, yeah, and she is absolutely still with us. And a couple of years ago, she and her dad got Latin Grammy Lifetime Award. So there you have it. Oh, Frank Sinatra. He would be 109 today. So I guess it's only fair that we do play My Kind of Town, since that was the one Ruth wanted to hear, and happy to do that. Died May 14th, 1998. I remember it so well. Yeah, I was living in Philadelphia at the time doing nights on WWDB, but I was in Austin for quite a while because that was my trial against the LBJ family in open court. Yes, I defeated them, the only one who ever did. But I was doing the show from a radio station a friend of mine ran down there, KBIT. And here I was Friday night, and here it is, of course, May 14th. And here it is, the show that was on before me was Sounds of Sinatra. Yeah, which was syndicated, apparently, so it was in places other than Philadelphia. But in Philadelphia, you know, needless to say, Frank Sinatra is the patron saint. So I was at the radio station at KBIT talking to a couple of the staffers there, and I said, oh, it's 10 minutes till I got a call in for a sound check. And I do, and the host of the show says, I can't talk now. Frank has died. And so I can't do anything. And so I turned to the people I was with. I said, well, I guess we're not going to have a soundtrack because a sound check because Frank Sinatra died. And they just fell out. They thought this was like the funniest thing, that that could stop life as you know it. I said, no, you don't understand. This will be a week of mourning in Philadelphia, guaranteed. It may not mean anything in Austin, Texas, but boy, and it was as well. So 82 years old, rest in peace, Frank, and we will absolutely get your see. I wouldn't have picked my kind of town, but I'll defer to Ruth on this one. Not sure what I would have, but there's a lot I like by him, actually, a whole lot. Especially on some of the labels, yes, and some of the labels, no. We don't need to have a discussion about that right now. But yeah, on one night when we're talking about nothing. Oh, wait a minute, that's tonight. Even so, we'll discuss that. Dionne Warwick, 84 today, born in 1940 in Orange, New Jersey, of course, and got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and that was 1985 on her 45th birthday. Yeah, so 84, and I don't know how she celebrated. Dee Dee was her sister, obviously. Sissy Houston was her aunt. Whitney was her cousin. So she sung a lot of backup, to say the least, the Drinkard Sisters and the Gospelaires and all that. She sung backup on the Drifters' Mexican Divorce. And in fact, while she was, Burt Bacharach was amazed by her voice and offered to pay her to cut demos, and she did. And that was one of the wonderful stories of Jerry Butler, because, of course, Calvin Carter from VJ went to New York to scout some demos for Jerry Butler to record. And he comes back, and one of them is Make It Easy on Yourself. And he says, that's beautiful, but the girl on it, it's perfect. Nobody can do it better than that. And said, well, they're not going to, I think it was Make It Easy on Yourself. Be terrible if I'm telling a story and it's the wrong song, but I'm pretty sure... That would be terrible, but it would be so apropos, but I'll confirm that. But whatever song it was, we'll assume it was Make It Easy or something, but whatever it was, the deal was that Florence Greenberg refused to release it on Scepter on the version that Dionne Warwick did. So Jerry Butler took himself to New York, went and found a Burt Bacharach and all that, and had him supervise the session because he wanted it to be basically sound for sound as it was on the demo that he heard. And sure enough, he had the hit. And then years later, finally, Scepter released the version that Dionne Warwick did. Yeah, it better have been Make It Easy on Yourself. I would have hated to have told that story for the wrong song, but I will confirm and tell you after the news. In the meantime, we'll be talking to, in fact, we can do that right now, Elizabeth in Rock Falls. Oh, we're going to talk about Canada Post, huh?
Hi, Riley.
How are you doing?
Yes, I told John it's been a big blessing to me. I've been getting a really expensive medication from Canada.
Ooh.
And, of course, they couldn't send it anymore until the strike is over.
Right.
So I called the doctor, and the nurse told me, well, we have a new source that will be much, much cheaper here in the United States. And so she told me what it was, and I had ordered it from there. And what was costing me $300 for 2 months in Canada will cost me $84 here.
Wow. All right.
So,
is this Mark Cuban's company?
Yeah.
Cost Plus? Okay, yeah, Cost Plus Drug Company. Yeah, if they have it, you get great deals. Now, unfortunately, everything I need they don't have, done that figure. But if you're taking some generics for brand name drugs and all that are popular right now, it can be terribly affordable, tremendously affordable. It's great.
Well, the nurse told me that this one just came online in the last few weeks. So
okay.
I had a lucky strike, that's for sure.
That is great.
It'll save me $1,400 a year.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful.
I know.
Yeah, well, long live Canada Post. All right, that's excellent, excellent news. Of course, not for anybody in Canada who's expecting to see Christmas presents, but it sure is good for UPS and FedEx. I mean, you know.
They're helping me.
Yeah, yeah. So how's Mr. Chubbs?
Oh, he's been pretty good lately.
Hasn't eaten anything odd? Good. All right.
No.
All right.
He's been okay.
Excellent. All right, well, good to hear from you. Thanks. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll find out what's going on in the world at large and be back to it on WGN Radio.
This is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of people too. People who smile at you and eat. Time I roam, Chicago is calling me home. Chicago is why I just grin like a clown. It's my kind of town. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of razzmatazz.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And that, of course, is Ruth's request. Yeah, My Kind of Town on reprise. That's the 45 version. And that was actually from a movie, I think, Robin and the Seven Hoods. And, yeah, it didn't do anything. It bubbled under, to say the least. I think it got up to number 110. And it was one of two Chicago records that that Frank did, of course, in 57, Chicago, that tattlin' town. That made it all the way to number 84. So there you have it. Sammy Kahn did the lyrics. Jimmy Van Heusen did the music. And that is My Kind of Town for Ruth. All right, so 888-876-5593. Those guilty pleasures, those songs that you love but are mortified to think anybody might find out you actually liked. Lisa in Dundee, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
What you
I'm
got?
Just sitting here sharing a banana with my dog.
Oh, good, good. I hope you're both enjoying it.
He did. It was perfectly ripe.
Okay.
If it's too far gone, he won't eat it. But if it's, you know.
Smart dog.
Dogs are funny, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I do have a guilty pleasure, but I also have a question about a Charlie Rich song.
Okay.
My favorite Charlie Rich song is Field of Yellow Daisies.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I became familiar with it way back when I'm sure when he did it in the late 70s. It was on a jukebox of a place that I used to go to. And that was 45s. And I don't remember what, it must have been the B-side, because it's not really a hit.
Well, it's not a hit, but this is interesting. It came out on Mercury when Charlie hit, you know, because Charlie had been around from the 50s and a number of labels. But when Charlie hit, when Billy Sherrill produced Behind Closed Doors and went to number one, mm-hmm. and that was followed by Most Beautiful Girl, well, at that point, every label that had anything took it and said, we're going to release it. And so Mercury, and that's the label where he did my favorite, Mohair Sam, Mercury had a Field of Yellow Daisies in the can, and so they released it in 74 on styrene. It was pressed, actually, in Terre Haute. But, yeah, Field of Yellow Daisies, Charlie Rich. Jerry Kennedy produced that, as he did most of the Mercury stuff. And there was a Mercury album that came out at Charlie Rich's height called Fully Realized, and it was on that as well.
But it what would have been the flip side, you think, in a jukebox?
Oh,
a
Party Girl was the flip side, the B-side, but you wouldn't know that.
So,
I don't think.
Field of Yellow Daisies was the A-side?
Yes, but and in fact, Party Girl, which was the B-side, it was Ray Stevens who arranged it, although it was Kennedy who produced it. But, yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Here comes Charlie. Suddenly, he's this big hit. Every label that had Charlie Rich on it for a while, RCA in particular, but RCA and Mercury, they combed through everything they had the rights to and put it out. And so yes, it was an A-side. It just wasn't tremendously successful. Of course, you know, Epic, which, you know, he was currently signed at that point, was on Epic. Epic, of course, did everything they could to make sure that both the RCA and the Mercury stuff didn't do anything. But, yeah, Fully Realized was the name of the album.
I know when I saw him in concert at that time, and he didn't sing it. And
no.
I was a bit disappointed.
He wouldn't
because
have.
Because it was my favorite song. But, you know, it wasn't a hit. So
well, and of course, it wasn't something that was on Epic, his current label. So,
they were.
It's sort of like when the Beatles came out, next thing you know, VJ releases Introducing the Beatles, and Swan puts out She Loves You. You know, it's that kind of thing.
I still have some Beatles 45s with so many different labels.
Exactly.
Like you said,
But obviously, I've got it, so, But
Field of Yellow Daisies?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know,
Is it too schmaltzy to play?
No, I'll play it for you. It's not one of my favorite by him, but I'll play it for you. But yeah, I was his promotion manager during those years, so I had to deal with not wanting the Mercury stuff to be played. You know, it was sort of a thing where you, you unpromote some of the records, you know?
It must have been fun. It must have been maybe not fun, but exciting to work.
No, it was an interesting story. And so, but yes, I'll be happy to play A Field of Yellow Daisies if that is what you want to hear.
That I would love to hear that.
Okay,
and we'll do it. Here's my guilty pleasure.
Okay,
it's by Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell anyone. Into the Groove.
Oh, okay. Could have been worse. John knows all the Madonna records because
he does.
Well, and in the 80s he directed a show, it was Dancing on Air, and then it went national as Dance Party USA, and Madonna was just like the big thing. So whenever anything comes, Madonna, I know that one. He absolutely does.
So he's a big fan.
No, not at all. But but he knows them.
I see.
Well, in fact, she appeared on the show. This is a true story. She had not yet hit her full stardom, but she was known. But she was such a slob, they made her clean up the restroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's the only Madonna story I got. But, yes, they made
her
actually clean up the restroom. So I didn't get details on what part and what she did, but drug her in there and said, and they drug it in there and said, clean it. And she did. So,
I tell you, women sometimes, you know, back in the day, women were a lot worse than men sometimes in the bathrooms.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you know, that's one thing that's well known, that in terms of germs, the female restrooms have exponentially more germs than the male restrooms.
Yeah.
But then again, the office desk has more germs by a mile than a toilet seat. So what do you can't count on any
And
of it.
I heard menus.
I don't doubt it for a minute.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, right.
Salt and pepper shakers or
Anything like that that's communal, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not sure that germs are so bad for us. You know, they probably build up an immunity. We seem to be
No, that's true. You know, years ago, we drank water out of our garden hose. And,
right.
You know, we did all those things.
Don't you still?
We're still around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's still the best. It's still the coldest water on a hot summer day, man.
Right, right. So how bad can that be, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, well, A Field of Yellow Daisies,
thank you
will
very
get.
Much.
My pleasure, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bye.
And they tried. Oh, did they try? It did chart it. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Jeffrey in Portland, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
We met in a field of yellow daisies. Wild and young and free, and she picked a bouquet for me. She loves me, she loves me not, for daisies didn't lie. They knew better than I she'd go away. But they didn't say why.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Charlie Rich. It was from 1965, actually, on a Smash album, The Many New Sides of Charlie Rich. And actually, I love that album because it had Mohair Sam, which I just adored Mohair Sam. But there were two albums on Smash, and that was in 65, The Many New Sides, and then there was another one, The Best Years, in 66. And what happened in 74, when Behind Closed Doors and everything took off like crazy, Mercury took those Smash albums, both of them, and re-released them as Fully Realized. It was a two-album set that they were trying to capitalize on the success of Charlie Rich, and to a greater or lesser extent it did. But from that, they put out the single on Mercury in 74 of A Field of Yellow Daisies, and Margaret Ann wrote it. Charlie's wife, she wrote both sides of that, actually, Party Girl and A Field of Yellow Daisies. But it charted country. I think it got in like 23 or something, and did not chart pop. And yeah, it was just an afterthought, like most of the stuff, you know. Of course, Sun was defunct by then, so they didn't get much into the mix, but that was the early Charlie Rich stuff. And then Mercury, through Smash and RCA, they flooded the market when he hit on Epic. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Janice is in New Orleans. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, how you doing, girl?
How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I don't know. I just, sometimes I come up with funny jokes, and sometimes a song will come into my head, and I'll twist it around and make something out of it, you know, something funny.
Uh-huh. What you got?
I'm sitting here, I'm talking to a friend of mine, Jim, and I came up with this one. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's some drones flying round over there. The government's telling me not to be scared. Watch that flying round, everybody get down on the ground. Watch that flying round, everybody get down on the ground.
All right, very good, very, very good, excellent. All right, so
yeah,
so,
it just
yes.
popped into my head.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't compute to me when you say, on the one hand, we don't know what it is, but don't worry about it.
Exactly. Well, you know what I'd do, Raleigh? If I was the president of this United States,
all right,
I would definitely, I'd have to do it in such a way that no one on the ground could be hurt, but I would take at least just one of them. I'd shoot it down, and I'd look in and see if there was a human in there, or maybe a green little man, or someone that looked like maybe, you know, James Carville, or maybe there's nothing in there. Maybe it's just all robotic. But the thing is this is what gets me about it. It's in our airspace.
Of course it is.
And it should not be, just like those balloons a while back that were flying around. Something absolutely needs to be done about this, because we need to know what it is.
Yeah.
We really do.
Well, the only comfort I took was when the Pentagon so forcefully said, it's not from a foreign entity. I thought, well, maybe they know.
How do we know?
Well, I think maybe they know because it's their own. That's about the only thing that left me a little comforting. But, you know, shooting it out of the sky is a pretty good idea, until John mentioned, You really want to shoot an alien out of the sky? You want to start a war with aliens? I said, well, there is that.
Well, what other way would there be, Raleigh, to find out what it even is?
Yeah, I think we need to do something. I agree with you.
I heard earlier today that a bill, there's this man, and he said that a bill would have to be passed to do that.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know what's up with that. I don't know, but he said a bill. Congress, well, or somebody would have to pass a bill to shoot it down.
Well, I know that it is illegal for the state or the local, anything like that. It's illegal for them to do it. But so federal law says it's illegal to shoot at an aircraft. And that's mm-hmm. that's the problem. And so they'd have to amend the law, I suppose. But I'm with you. I am not comforted by saying we don't know what it is, but don't worry.
Exactly. That yeah. doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll hear soon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wonderful song. I'm delighted that you did it. You should put it to music.
Like I said, it just popped right into my brain. I was talking to Jim, and we were talking about the stuff in the sky and all that, those drones, and it just popped right into my head. The song came into my head, that when they had that song years ago, and then I made the words up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Too bad Dr. Demento's not on the radio anymore.
Well, you know who I met one time?
Who?
I was downtown many, many years ago, this was. There was a bookstore. Mm-hmm. I think it was B. Dalton. Mm-hmm. It was on Canal Street. And I see this guy in there, and I looked again, and I'm thinking, he's kind of ugly. So I walk over to him, and I asked him, I said, would you by chance be Weird Al Yankovic? He said, yes, I am.
Oh, that's great.
I said, I love what you do, man. I really love what you do. I said, and you know what you're going to love? I said, tomorrow night you're going to love Endymion.
oh, absolutely.
It
yes.
was Mardi Gras time.
Yes, yes, and I'm with you on Endymion. You betcha.
Oh, yeah, it's really, I mean, it makes wrecks and all that stuff. Yeah. It's the best. I love the Endymion Parade.
Yeah.
But last time I ever went to it, though, and I said I'd never go again. The only way I ever saw it after that was television. This was when I was younger. My father dropped me off. And yeah, I saw the parade. Everything was fine. But honey, let me tell you, when it came time to pick me up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't realize how it was going to be. It got bigger and the traffic and everything.
Yeah.
It was just bumper to bumper people. And he gets to me and he's fussing. And it's like, I was going to run out of gas. I said, yeah, you could run out of gas. And another thing we're not thinking about is there are people out there behind the wheel of some of those cars that have been drinking. I said, but look, I never thought about this, and neither did you. I said, you dropped me off. I said, if I thought for 1 minute that it was going to traffic and this many people and everything, I would never have done this. I said, never again, television only. It took him forever to get to me, and I wasn't far from the house. And it took us, we had to go back streets and everything to get back home.
Oh, man. Great story. Yes, yes. Endymion, right. Eddie Muniz. Absolutely. I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So, and we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and be back to it for another hour right here with you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Marvin Gaye, 1982, Sexual Healing, and that was on Columbia. Interesting story. You hear all these stories about how Berry Gordy treated his ex, and some of it is just to make you shudder. But what was interesting is Marvin Gaye wanted out, and there's a long story there. And he said, you know, I didn't think he'd behave like a gentleman, but Berry Gordy said to me, if you want out and we get the right price, then go. And that's exactly what happened. The right price was paid by Columbia. Columbia paid Motown $1.5 million for Marvin Gaye's contract, and also had to pay the company a share of royalties on future record sales. So, yeah, Berry was not going to make an easy deal, that's for sure. The CBS exec who signed him was Larkin Arnold, and he said, well, the performance of the Midnight Love album alone recouped the investment, but the Marvin Gaye project has taken at least 30 years off my life, so I can only imagine. So yes, but Ruth wanted to hear Sexual Healing. I didn't, but I played it for her anyway. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Jeffrey is in Portland. What's going on tonight, Jeffrey? Are you still with us, Jeffrey? Did we lose you? Oh, I hope not, but I think so. I think that Jeffrey is gone. Well, hopefully you'll call back. I'll look forward to that. And sorry it took so long to get to you. All right. So we have Kevin in Colorado Springs. Welcome back to WGN Radio. No, we don't have Kevin in Colorado Springs. All right. Well, we almost had Kevin in Colorado Springs, and I wanted to talk to him too. All right. But Isaac on the South Side is not going to let me down. So Isaac, you got to vote for me? Isaac, maybe I spoke too fast. You're gone too? You know, it's times like these that I start to wonder if we have a phone system. Let's see if Kevin called back. Are you there, Kevin?
Hey, I am here, Raleigh. What's going on with you?
It's wonderful to hear your voice. I don't know. I was starting to get a little concerned there for a moment.
Yeah, I can believe that. A couple of songs that I have found, actually I heard one of them on a Sirius XM Countdown. It was by Wayne Newton. It was called Coming On Too Strong. Came out in 1965.
Uh-huh.
And the other one was by the Ragdolls called Dusty. And I think that was out in 64.
Now, are these guilty pleasures of yours?
They are now.
Oh, all right. All right. It's always nice to discover something you hadn't heard before.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I really love them. Question.
Yes.
How much better is the SSB2 than the regular SSB from Sea Crane?
Yeah, no, I understand the question. You know, I almost hate to ever comment on this stuff because it's so so personal, if you know what I mean. One person finds to be very different, another person will say, well, there's no difference to me, you know. So, you know, I don't know how, you know, I mean, I know they've done some updates, like they put this the shortwave wire antenna adapter there, which is neat, and you've got some bells and whistles, but you know, I liked the CC Skywave SSB2 before it got improved, so it's hard to say, but you know, I mean, let's face it, if you are concerned about running a shortwave antenna, this does make it a snap.
Well, I will let you know because I have the SSB Skywave and I'm getting the SSB Tuesday. SSB, it'll be here by Saturday. So.
Okay, so yes, you're going to be our unbiased report on exactly what you like and don't like and what the differences are.
I will.
I'm counting on it.
Okay, Raleigh, we'll take care.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, betcha.
Good to hear from Kevin. All right, so 888-876-5593. All right, we've got some returning callers. Oh, good. Isaac called back. So, Isaac, welcome back to WGN.
Hi, Raleigh. Oh, shoot. Sorry, dropped my phone. Hi, Raleigh. How's it going tonight?
All right, how about yourself? So, fess up. What is it you love that you don't want anyone to know about?
Well, you know, being a young guy on the South Side, I listen to a lot of songs by myself that I might not listen to with my friends.
Yes.
And so I'd say I didn't know about these people 2 weeks ago, but the Pointer Sister, they have a song, Automatic.
Oh, sure.
It's from the 80s.
Yeah, no, yeah, I wouldn't really be I wouldn't be embarrassed to like that.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I don't listen to it, you know, outside of the shower.
I mean, you know, now if you were talking about something like the McGuire Sisters, I'd say, oh yes, change your zip code. But the Pointer Sisters, say it out loud and be proud.
Smokey Robinson also has a song, "A Virgin Man." That's a really good song. I like it well, but I don't listen to it outside of the shower.
Okay.
They were kind of confusing me. Like I said, I didn't know about them before 2 weeks ago, and I heard the song, and I thought that it was a guy singing the lead on Automatic, but it is one of the sisters.
Yeah.
And initially, they've been around for a really long time, and initially they were like four or five sisters, and then somehow they dwindled down to three sisters. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about them.
Well, you just found out about the Pointer Sisters a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I didn't know anything. Now,
I
have heard a couple of songs, like, I'm so excited, but I didn't know that was them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that song.
Oh yeah, no, Automatic got a Grammy.
Well, it deserved it. It's
in 1984, and so did Jump. And you know, Fire was a top 10 hit, and He's So Shy, and Slow Hand, and I'm So Excited, and Neutron Dance. Mm-hmm. That was all in that period of time. But they did a wonderful country song too, Fairy Tale, in 1974.
Now, I gotta look it up. Okay, now that was when it was like five people in the group.
Yeah,
four sisters.
June and Bonnie started it as Pointers Au Pair, and that was the two of them. And then Anita joined them, so it was June, Bonnie, and Anita. None of those three are still in there. And they made a deal with Atlantic, and they did a lot of unsuccessful stuff. And then they became a quartet when Ruth joined them. That's another sister. So that was like a couple years later.
Yeah, that's the thing's Automatic.
Yeah, and then they were signed to Blue Thumb. And, you know, that's when they won the Grammy Awards and all that. June, unfortunately, had a real problem with drug addiction, and
I heard
and then she died of cancer on top of that. But Issa is Ruth's daughter, and she's in the group now, and also Ruth's granddaughter Sadako is in the group. So June, Bonnie, and Anita are no more, but we still have Ruth, Issa, and Sadako.
Okay, all right, well, that's very good. Moving on, though, the whole drone situation.
Yeah, what do you think?
You know, I definitely do not think that it is aliens. I think that when America is dying, I'm talking about the American government, would love to be the first country to say that we have made contact with, you know, they'd love to be able to say that. So when that happens, or if that ever happens, like, it will be front page news. Everybody would know. We beat England to it. We beat India to it. You know, everyone will know. I think that these are planes. I think that these are unmanned drones. I think that they could be privately owned. I think that, you know, somebody could have just some really cool technology. We're used to drones being like, you know, little spidery looking things.
Yeah.
And these just, because my thing is that these have lights all on them.
Oh, yes, and, absolutely.
Well, aliens, of course, are not going to come to our country and be like, oh, we have to, you know, be in accordance with the FAA type thing. Like, they're not going to do that. So, you know, that's why I think that I think there's some sort of a plane. I think they're like small unmanned planes. You know, here in Chicago, I work at the Bears game on field security or whatever, and they tell us that if we have a drone that hovers over, you know, Soldier Field's undome, so, you know, if we have a drone that lands on the field, we're supposed to circle around it, and I don't know exactly what they want us to do, but the thing is that we're not concerned with who's controlling it. We're just concerned with stopping it.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is that anybody in Chicago, we have so many rules over the drones. You can only fly them here, there. You can't fly them in buildings. You can't go into people's windows and things like that. But when it comes down to it, they don't know who's flying them. You know, they don't know where, you know, they say you can't move, fly them from a vehicle. You can't, you know, you have to be in so close to your drone so that they can identify who's flying them. But the thing is that we don't know.
No.
So, you know, some people are saying the military. I think it could be a private, you know, a wealthy family in New Jersey that has some access to some really cool technology.
Yeah, I suppose it could be anything, but I think the fact that we don't know, it makes us uneasy, and I would go with that. But you mentioned aliens. Now, you are aware that supposedly President Eisenhower had three secret meetings with aliens in 1954, right?
Okay, and so Eisenhower's been gone for how long?
Right, right, but I mean, supposedly that they've been keeping up with this ever since that, and they're not telling the public. I mean, you know, it's Art Bell time, but what can I tell you?
I did not know that Eisenhower was having meetings.
Three of them, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
at a remote air base in New Mexico in 1954. So, yeah,
okay.
you'll have to read about it.
Nothing since then?
Well, who
no
knows? Well, you know, who knows? If you remember when Jimmy Carter ran for president, he swore that he would get to the bottom of this and declare it to the public, and nothing ever happened. But years later, he was asked, and it was really eerie to hear his answer because tears literally sprung to his eyes, and he said, "I can't talk." Yeah, and he said, "I can't talk about that."
Well, you know, our current president or our upcoming president has said the same, that he's going to get to the bottom of the whole.
Well, he said
situation.
That the first time, too. I hope he'll make good on it this time.
Hey, Raleigh, speaking of Jimmy Carter, you know, I told you that my grandmother was on hospice back in before the Halloween time.
Right.
Well, it turns out that she has survived all this time. She's actually been improving to stability, not to the point that she's going to be able to leave the nursing home anytime soon. But, you know, she's been on hospice for almost... We're going on 3 months. They were saying, well, she has weeks to live. She survived past Halloween, past Thanksgiving.
Good.
The next benchmark is Christmas. So we'll see what comes of it.
Good. That's excellent news. And she's not in pain and she's okay?
No, she is not in pain.
All right.
I don't know if you remember the caller of Tubby. She was
warning
me about, you know, how family, it's been way more of that family.
Yeah.
Family members popping up telling me what I'm not doing,
right,
even though my whole life has been, you know, taking care of her for the past 3 months.
Right.
But that's all I wanted to say, Raleigh. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Bye. All right. So, yes, I do remember that. And, oh, man, families. Well, that's why, you know, we do the world's worst hit record countdown on Thanksgiving, because it's a night of turkeys. And when you can't stand talking to your family, you can... listen to that. We do it every year. Of course, we open the polls on Halloween, a night of horrors. All right. So we'll get back to Jeffrey in a moment. But Boyer called back from Nashville. So did you hear your Francis Fay?
Raleigh, I did not hear you play that.
I played I Wish I Could Shimmy Like Sister Kate.
Did you play that last night?
No, I played it tonight. It was I even dedicated it to you. It was the first song I played.
Darn, I was out.
Because, well, you can always listen to the replays. You can click on the downloads on Raleigh.net.
Well, I'm going to do that.
And yes, because, you know, she recorded that in 52, but she was on the Ed Sullivan Show doing it in 1960. And that was the same.
I saw that.
Okay, good. Well, that was the same year that the Olympics did Shimmy Like Sister Kate. Now, not same song, obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised that the writers got it from the Francis Fay song.
Thank you for playing that. So I'm calling for a sidebar reason tonight. So
okay.
a lot of your folks call and talk about radios and like the CC Crane pocket radio. I have one.
Yeah.
I've been through two. So I also have in front of me is the Tescom PL36. 386, I believe.
Okay.
It's about an $80 radio.
Right.
You can do sidebar on it. The stuff with AM, and you could put in the side link, and you hear like spy stuff on it. It's very cool.
Wow. Okay. So this is
side link.
And it's a TL. It's a TL386. And who makes it?
Tescom.
Spell.
T-E-C-S-U-N.
Huh.
And they make a lot of radios.
Okay.
So This is a handheld radio, costs about $80. It does a lot more than the CC Crane, which is just AM, FM. This radio does things like you could put in AM, then you hit a sidebar thing, and you can get really weird stuff.
Huh.
I encourage people to listen to it.
Neat. So that's Texan, T-E-C-S-U-N, Texan, and that's a
Texan.
P-L.
Google it real quick. Let me look up the number.
Yeah. I know there's the PL-368. So
they have several of these. This is the PL-368.
Yeah, 368. Okay, yeah, it's a 386. Okay, 368. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It has a lower sidebar, upper sidebar. It's like when the AM signal gets split, and you can hear, apparently, you know, the Russians and Chinese, and you hear things like go beep, 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 and then you tune it in, and you hear voices where people can put in their own AM stations. It's very interesting. You just need to,
I'm looking at the Texan website now, and obviously,
and they have
they're
many
Chinese,
wonderful radios.
But yeah,
so here's the. I'm calling in because this is a handheld radio I could, you know, carry around in the front yard. So I am a huge fan of tabletop radios.
Uh-huh.
So I have both. I own these radios, and I don't work for these folks. The Sanjian WR11 wood cabinet,
okay.
AM FM. I have this radio. It weighs like 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's... I have friends who have the Tivoli radios, which are the supreme, so-called. Sanjians, I think, beat the Tivoli. So look at Tivoli WR11 wood.
Yeah, Sanjian WR11. Yeah, I'm aware. I'm aware of that radio. And yeah, Sanjian has worked with Bob Crane on some of those radios as well. So I'm very familiar with Sanjian.
And they have one called the W12, which is what I'm listening to you on tonight. It has double speakers.
Okay.
It's a beautiful radio. It has double speakers, has a treble knob, a bass knob.
Yeah. It's a slide rule dial radio. It's not a digital readout. So it doesn't
Don't
have any of those bells and whistles. Yeah.
So they do Bluetooth versions of these. And they do digital versions, but the cabinets on these are very heavy. I mean, I've ordered them through Amazon, and I pick up the box and the ports. I'm like, wow, it's heavy.
Yeah.
So these are wonderful radios.
Good stuff. All
right. That's pretty much what I wanted to tell you tonight.
I'm delighted. I'm delighted you called in, and yes, you'll have to listen to the download when this show is over. I'll digitize it and put it up there. So give me about an hour to do that after the show is over, and then you can hear the file.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're a wonderful lady. Love your show.
Thanks. All right. So good to hear from Boyer. Yeah. Sorry he missed his Francis Fay, but he'll hear it on the replay. And all the replays are there should you want to hear them. All right. So let's see. Don't tell me. I lost Jeff in Portland again. He didn't wait. Oh, Jeff, I'm so sorry. All right. But I guess there's always tomorrow night. We have another Jeff in Beloit. Oh, Social Security. What happens when Ponzi meets Marx? All right, and who said that? Jim in Richmond has an update, and Jim in New Hampshire, radio and music. I love it already. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Who is gonna love me? Not you. Away, wondering who is gonna hold me and keep me warm when I'm cold. Who will I wake up for through all those lonely years? No one dear.
sleep won't come to end these tears. And who is gonna kiss me if you walk out the door? There'll be no one new, not for me, 'cause my whole life is you. Darling, if you don't wanna love me, there's just no use hanging on. For without your love, everything is gone. Oh, but sleep won't come.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Dionne Warwick, who is going to love me? And as we mentioned, she turned 84 today and still going strong, far as I know. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Jeff is in Beloit. What's up, Jeff?
Well, hi, Raleigh. You made a quick quip, and I was going to ask you to explain that if you could. You said when Ponzi meets Marks, I think you said.
Yeah, just, well, you know, social is... It's not really for this show. I probably shouldn't have said anything, but if you think about it, the combination should make sense to you.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I just wanted you to elaborate because you have a lot of intelligence and opinion. But let's move on to I'm approaching this 62.
Yes,
and I'm currently working, having a hard time working with these young people because they're all vaping inside the business, and there's all kinds of nicotine, marijuana, and God knows what else.
Uh-huh.
But they all do it, and they do it right inside, indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my question is, I'm looking at Social Security. Can I, at 62, claim Social Security and work both?
Yes, but working will cause your Social Security to be reduced. You see, if you retire before full retirement age, if you make more than a certain amount of dollar, everything you make is reduced in terms of your Social Security by 50%. So if you are collecting at 62 and having a full-time job, it's probably not a good idea.
Well, the thing is, I just need a little backup. I mean, I got to put up with a lot of stuff because I basically took the wrong job up. What I'm going to try to do is get a little backup, so if I need to make a job change, then I could do so. I have a little something to fall back on. I know it's not going to be that much. Do you have any idea what that would be?
Well, no, in terms of what it would be, I can tell you right now that depends on your work record. The least you could get is $1,000. The most you could get is $4,800 a month, and that's at full retirement age. But where you fall on that is absolutely going to depend on, on how much you've paid into the system.
Okay.
So,
one other question. Well, I heard you talking to some other individual that they could collect off their spouse's retirement.
Right. You absolutely can. You absolutely can do that. Firstly, I don't like the idea of using, saying I'm going to collect early just in case I need it. After you're 62, you can always file at any time to get it if you need it and you want it. So don't feel like, I'll turn 62, I got to apply or I'm not going to be able to apply. You can file any month you want, any year you want after you're 62. But your full retirement age, somebody your age, and Social Security would tell you, but I'm assuming it's like close to 67 years old, probably 66 and several months would be your full retirement age. And then, of course, the most you can get is if you're 70. But if you retire before full retirement age and you earn more than the annual limit, and I'm going to have to look for what that annual limit is now, for every dollar you earn above the limit, it's basically $1 in benefits is withheld for every $2 earned above the limit.
Okay.
And so that would make it a terrible deal for you. I
don't think so, because I was in the hospital for a while, and the doctor said I was going to make it till February. that was 4 years ago. My parents, I mean, they're all older. They didn't retire. They worked into their 80s. But me, because of the problem of getting hit by a car, and I've just had some up and down swings with my health. So I'm just looking at it would be something to back up.
Well, now keep in mind, you get Medicare at 65, regardless of when you apply for Social Security. Medicare happens at 65. So the thing that you don't want to do with any health history at all is leave a situation where you're getting health benefits. Because that's really important to you. Unless you're working on a spouse's benefits or something like that, you don't want to lose your health benefits.
Okay, quickly, I wanted to cover one other question. My parents split a long time ago. My mom's 93. They divorced over 20 years ago, but they were married for over 12 years. Can she collect off of his Social Security?
Absolutely, 100%. She would get 50% of what he would ordinarily get. And it doesn't matter if he has other wives or if other people are filing or anything. What's dependent upon is when did he apply for Social Security? How old was he? And what did he get? And then she'd get 50% of that, and he would not be notified, you know, assuming he was alive or whatever.
Retroactive? She could go back?
No. Now, this is the wonderful thing about the government. It starts the day you apply. If it takes them 3 months to certify your application, then they'll give you back those 3 months, but they're not going to go back and say, oh yeah, for 20 years you should have been doing this.
You made that very clear. I was talking to my mother about that, and she goes, you're kidding me. And he goes, he's still alive, you know.
But that's perfectly fine. He can be alive, and it has nothing to do with whether he's alive. If she was married, or if anyone was married 10 years, that's the magic number, and can prove it, of course. You know, you've got to have your marriage license and your divorce decree to show that it's 10 years. Then you absolutely get 50% of whatever he gets. And let's say you had somebody who was a serial marrier, like he married one woman for 10 years younger and then another woman. Maybe he's got four of these wives, right? All four of them can get 50% of what he gets.
Wow.
So that's the way it works.
It's good news for my mother, but the only thing is that she's probably be a little upset that if she could have known that she could have collected
part of that, the onus was on her to find out about that kind of stuff. It was not secret knowledge. It was readily available, and nobody was around her when she turned retirement age to guide her. That's the unfortunate part, is she didn't know anybody, because none of this is secret.
Well, you know, that one thing I was going to say is it's really good for her if she could do that. But it's going to be good for some other people that don't know that. And I heard this from you a little bit a couple weeks ago, and I didn't quite catch it. And then so I thought I'd clarify that. But there's a lot of people out there, a lot of women that could have made a lot more money.
And it can be men too. And the thing, you know, there was a loophole, and I'm not mentioning this, I haven't, because you're too young to take advantage of it, because if you were born 1954 or later, you lost that. But for individuals who were born before 1954, you could, let's say you had a spouse who was full retirement age and got Social Security, you could apply for spousal benefits and get 50% of whatever that spouse got. And then when you were 70, let's say, convert it to 70-year-old full retirement and go into that. So you could wind up saving quite a bit of money by doing that, but they closed the loophole. So that doesn't work anymore. But absolutely, if you're divorced 10 years or if you're still married, you can use your husband or your wife's Social Security easily. But remember, you're only getting 50% of whatever it is.
Okay, that's great information. I was going to ask, what do you think about all the young people I work with vaping? And, you know, I have a hard time breathing in there, to tell you the truth. What can I do? If I say something to the manager, she's one of the biggest puffers in the place.
There's very little you can do. I mean, that's the kind of thing where clearly it's pollution in the workplace, and you could contact government authorities, but, you know, all hell's going to rain down upon you for doing it. You know that. So
absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to lose the job.
So. Right. Or it would be so you wouldn't lose the job. Actually, you'd almost be protected because, you know, like a whistleblower thing, they wouldn't be able to fire you, but they could make it very miserable and unpleasant for you. So I don't suggest taking that route. But if you're really in a toxic workplace, it's probably not only toxic physically, but I have a feeling it's probably toxic psychologically as well. And my advice would be to get out. What kind of work do you do?
Well, I've been a cook forever. That, and I work either in a factory or cook at night, or, you know, do both. But right now, it's actually going to a terrible job. The gal's getting the 20-year-old manager is going to get a bonus if she cuts everybody's hours.
Right.
You know, so she makes more money than she gets the bonus. So she gets $2,000 and everybody else is like $10,000 below poverty level.
Right.
And
right.
It's time to jump, just like you said.
So. I think so. And, you know, in terms, like, I would think that there would be a lot of job possibilities for someone who can cook.
Yeah, there are. But, you know, the problem is, too, is that they'll all tell you that you're going to get, you know, I'm asking for 30 to 40 hours. Well, you'll do that for a week or two, and then they cut you down to 26 and hire more people. And then sometimes it's right around 20.
Are they doing that because they want to avoid paying benefits, or are they doing it to keep people at part-time?
Exactly, okay. To avoid benefits.
Yeah, right, which is not good at all. Yeah. That's really important because at this stage of your life, the benefits are really the key issue here, because when you turn 62, you could go on Social Security, but there aren't any benefits with it. So, you know, trying to pay for your own health insurance would negate any advantage you'd get. So
yeah, but I think there's a cap on that. And I'm below the cap. When they cut your hours like that, you could go and still get the benefits.
Okay.
That kind of benefit.
Okay. Well, you want to make sure whatever job you're looking at, you'll still get benefits.
Right. You know, the thing is, it's not clear in my mind of how healthy I'm going to be because my health has been
well,
up and down.
Well, absolutely. And no. I don't want you gambling on that. You know, years ago, I never believed in needing to have health insurance because basically I could pay out of pocket. But many years ago, the system changed where they do cost shifting. And let's say a procedure, the uninsured rate is, say, $1,000. Well, Medicare is probably reimbursing 90, and Medicaid even less. And then the big blues as an insurance group, they're probably getting a deal where that $1,000 retail is costing them 110, and the big blues and the United Healthcares of the world. By the time it gets to the uninsured, you're expected to pay the full 1,000. And so what happens is for procedures that would have cost an insurance company $420, it may wind up costing you $5,000. You cannot go uninsured anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's a rigged game. It's not a good game, but that's the way it plays. So gone are the days when you say, I'll just pay out of pocket. That's fine to make private arrangements for that for basic coverage. But in terms of, you know, what if everything hits the fan and you're hit by that semi or whatever, you need coverage.
Yeah.
And so I would absolutely look at that as probably my most deciding factor in a job is how good is the coverage.
Right. So if I took Social Security at 62, I got 3 years before I'm covered then?
No. Yes, you have three years before you can get Medicare. That's true, because Medicare happens at age 65. Medicare has nothing to do with Social Security.
Wow.
Other than Part A in Medicare, when you turn 65, you no longer pay it out of pocket. They deduct it from your Social Security, whether you want them to or not.
Okay. Okay, great.
So, you know, there's that, which, you know, causes me to gnash my teeth every month. But nonetheless, you are literally 3 years away from being able to be covered by Medicare. So unless you're dirt poor and qualify for Medicaid and are willing to take all the problems that come with that type of insurance, you need to make sure your job is giving you what you need.
Okay, great information, Raleigh. It's always nice talking to you.
Likewise.
I'm sure my mother's, I'm sure my mother's going to be happy to hear this.
Yeah, yeah, she can apply as soon as you know, any weekday, she can call and apply.
At 93, she could probably get another car.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we will get to Chris, who is in Whitefish Bay here in a moment, right after this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper as we only have a few minutes left, and I want to get to as many of you as I can. Chris is a first-time caller in Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. My name's Chris. My guilty pleasure is probably from a time when I was a young lady, and it was disco music that play that funky music, white boy.
Okay, all right.
Wild Cherry.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Just terrible that disco music came around, and I'm wondering what the origins of the disco came out of. What did it come out of? What was the first song? I feel like that was the first disco song.
Yeah, no, it absolutely wasn't. And by the way, before we get to that, let me tell you about Wild Cherry, the group that did it. The guy who actually started that, it's a great group, and they had some terrific records that weren't hits. 1-2-3 Kind of Love and Hold On. 1-2-3 Kind of Love, one of my all-time favorite records. They just did nothing. But Play That Funky Music, White Boy, took up and became a huge hit, much to their embarrassment. But disco has been around probably longer than you think. But the popularity of it really grew in the mid-70s.
Right, high school for me.
Right, and so. So that was the real mainstream of it. It started, like I say, in the late 60s, you had underground clubs like in New York or Philadelphia and places like that. But, of course, you know, movies and stuff like that, disco became so big in the mid to latter 70s. So that was probably the origin.
There's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
And at some time, maybe you could play... You Ought to Be Having Fun by Tower of Power.
Yes, I love that song.
That was more my... Yeah, I love that song.
Me too. I love that
really
song.
It really makes me feel good. And your whole show is like a Cheers on the radio.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, like if you watch that TV show, yeah. Cheers, all your people that call in, I kind of get to know them. And, I learn about homonyms or whatever I'm learning about. And just everybody has a little thing, and it's kind of like a way for me to settle down at the end of the day and listen to other people instead of my head spinning.
Well, that's so nice. Next week,
I love your show.
Oh, thank you. I will definitely play your You Ought to Be Having Fun next week. I love that
record.
Right.
Okay, thank you. And I'm retired now, so I'm going to stay up till 1 in the morning and listen to you every night.
Well, then I expect you to call again.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm counting on it.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And big-time apologies to Jim in Richmond, Jim in New Hampshire, and I didn't, obviously, I was unaware of the time, and it's come to an end. Next week is a strange week in that Monday's show is only an hour, midnight to 1, and then Tuesday, we're an hour delayed. It'll be from 11 to 1. Wednesday is a full show next week, and then Thursday is an hour delayed. So that's the schedule, and of course, meetings of the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club will be held accordingly. So until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling, and apologies to those who had to wait and I didn't get there. I truly am sorry. We'll talk to you next week on WGN Radio.